Some say there's nothing more beautiful than Paris in the morning, but those people must be watching the sunrise from underneath their silk sheets, and not from a dirty bakery window through half-shut eyes, with flour-coated hands that ache from meticulously placing hundreds of sugared pearls on top of a cake, meant for the Queen of France. It's never sweet enough for her. The strawberry jam is layered perfectly between fresh crumb cake and toasted marshmallow, but we'll still hear about how one of her bites was bland. She'll place another order, though. And then another. And I'll continue to be thankful for it. Because without her, without any of the people in the Golden Palace under the silk sheets, I don't know what we'd do. The reason I see the sun rise most mornings, see it peek up over the clockmaker's workshop, is because if I didn't, it would mean Mother and Father would have to. And they've already got their hands full with afternoon orders and with Violet, whose greatest talent is knowing where we store the extra dough and exactly how much she can scarf down in secret before she gets a stomachache. I've saved a blueberry scone for her this morning, left in the oven for a few minutes just the way my mother taught me, burnt enough that Father wouldn't want to serve it, but not so burnt that it can't be eaten anyway. Quincy's here. His horses always make so much noise, clacking on the cobblestones and rattling the carriage. I'm betting Violet didn't sleep through it. "Mademoiselle Evie," he says, tipping his hat as he approaches our storefront. "Got something good for me today?" The horses' heads are topped with feathered plumes that shed all over the streets, and they only keep adding more. Quincy himself doesn't have feathers, but if they put one more piece of pizzazz on his outfit, I think he'd be more decorated than the king. "Always Quincy," I say, carefully handing over the heavy boxed cake. The satin bow I tied looks perfect on this one. Mother says I have a knack for it, but so far, tying bows hasn't proved a useful skill for anything but packaging cakes and putting the finishing touches on my handmade dresses. Quincy places the cake in the carriage, wedging it between pillows of plush velvet. It'll be inside the palace gates of Versailles and sitting pretty on top of a crystal stand before the queen wakes. "Another ball tonight?" I ask Quincy. The queen is always throwing masked parties, inviting every high-status Parisian to be found. Which of course means we're never invited. But sometimes I like to imagine one of my father's cakes, or mine, making it to the queen's soiree, getting to be the centerpiece. I imagine everyone circling around it, admiring the marzipan roses and filigree icing, complete with real gold leaf. For a moment, they don't know that it was made by low-status hands, and they look at it the same way they look at each other. "No, ma'am," says Quincy. "This is just breakfast." He gives me a wink before hoisting himself up onto the coach, and with another tip of his bedazzled hat, he's gone.